Welcome to the Smart Marks Podcast, your weekly look into all things professional wrestling, no matter if it happens in a squared circle, a six-sided ring, or an Aztec temple. Here to lay the smackdown on your ear holes are your hosts, the Smart Marks, Matt Salgado and Jeremy Holman.
Right, Marks, we are live, but we're not in person.
Kind of live.
This is a computer recording of my voice.
This is a recording.
Press one for English.
Press two for boners.
Beep, 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 beep. I keep pressing two with my boner.
I keep pressing two also. If you guys can't tell... we are doing a remote this week, so bada bing, bada
Hell
boom.
Yeah,
that's how we're running the show this week.
Matt's the only person I'll let control my remote.
Ooh, I do control his remote because he controls. Because
if you get it, he pushes my buttons.
Oh, I was gonna say because you remote control.
Button.
You remote control my heart.
Aww, I was saying like my climax.
Button. My wrestling. my wrestling heart. It's so weird when I do a remote. Oh, my Bret Hart. When I do a remote, I'm not wearing my usual headphones, so it's always kind of weird to like.
Or your
not,
pants.
I'm not hearing all the voices in my head right now, aka Randy Orton.
So we were killing time earlier, and we're watching stuff on YouTube, and they had a. I guess it's John Cena took over the internet and started replying to different, like he'd go on Twitter and reply to people's comments on Twitter. Then he'd go on Reddit and reply to people's comments on Reddit. And someone had asked like, who's hotter, Randy Orton or John Cena? And he went and replied. He's like, Randy Orton. I mean, he's got all those bad boy tattoos and the sleeve and stuff. John Cena's a tool.
Tool John Cena.
But he was just, it was funny because he was responding as himself to all of the stuff. And someone asked him, they said, when is John Cena going to turn heel? And he commented on it, and he's like, this is, and he first started explaining it to the camera. He's like, this is inside baseball. This is, you know, a term that's used to describe us as bad guy or good guy. He's like, and everyone wants me to be a bad guy. He's like, for a long time, every time my music hits, I come out to a sea of boos, and everybody telling me, or singing along with my song, John Cena sucks. He's like, don't you think I turned heel 10 years ago?
That's smart.
Man has a point. Man has a point.
Mm-hmm.
How are you, Matt?
He doesn't need a turn heel. I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Good.
Doing all right.
He doesn't need to. He's one of those, like, and I'd even say Roman Reigns is the same way that, you know, they're their own character. They don't have to change different. You can either like them or hate them, but they're going to be that character.
Yeah, it's
going to change.
It's definitely gone past the point of having to actually full-blown turn heel, like, as a character, when the character itself was already getting the booze at, you know, more booze than what you would actually get as a heel character. So, you know,
that being
doing
said,
their
I
job,
still want it.
So, boom. Yeah, I dig it.
I still want that major heel moment of him just, like, beating the shit out of people. And, like, full Hogan NWO moment.
Oh, what do you mean, like, John Cena?
Cena, yeah. I would still mark the hell out for that.
It'd probably be like a one-off show. It'd be like a one-off deal. Yeah.
It'd be the last match he has before he retires.
What if they did like a Flashpoint Paradox, but with John Cena? We just need somebody to like break the time barrier and break time, and John Cena can be like the leader of NWO.
It'd be Kofi Kingston. Remember, he used to have those shoes with the wings on them. We can get him to run backwards fast.
Some local Roswell newspaper news. I mean, it's public information and it's out there. Anybody that reads the Roswell paper, New Mexico, or you can go to the website RDR Online. There is a picture of a teacher who is on a committee, and apparently, like they're getting together during the summer. Right? Not there's a teacher here in Roswell, New Mexico. He's a third grade teacher. His name is Joshua. I'm not going to give his last name, but you can go on the website and find his last name. But the dude is wearing an NWO t-shirt at his meeting. And it was it was in the paper. It was on the picture. I will send you the picture. I'm almost tempted to share it, like, online.
You should. No, you like, totally should.
Like, I think it's just awesome. It's just like, when education, you know, comes first, but NWO is life or something like that.
Right. And you got to rep NWO at all times.
Yeah, when you're a teacher and working for the education to young children, but NWO is life.
God damn it, I see it.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, I see
that
it.
That is hilarious, yeah. I saw that on...
they're recognizing it for test score achievements. Yep, he's sitting there in an NWO black and white t-shirt.
I'm a little upset that he's not thrown with the Too Sweet. That's like the only thing I would have asked
for. We need to reach out to him.
I think we should. I absolutely think we should.
At least get a short like comment or something from him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that's actually... I think he'd make a great little guest like for the week, you know, and if he's still watching wrestling, right, and get his take on everything going on and how if maybe wrestling plays a part in his teaching. I don't know. I think it's right? cool. I think
he puts, cool, he like, puts when, students in the torture rack?
Yeah. Guys, let me tell you about the Hogan heel turn and what it meant.
So what happens? What happens is if you get an F, he rips the shirt off and spray paints your grade on your back.
For life. For life. Oh man. So
you
yeah,
think he plays theme music every time he enters the classroom?
Oh, you have to. You know he hears it. He probably wears that NWO shirt underneath like his dress shirt that he goes to work in, or his polo.
My very first teacher I ever had in high school, like my very first class in high school, was science class, and my teacher was Eric Chapman, and he's turned out like now in life he's a good friend of mine, and he was such a huge wrestling mark, and I would sit there in science class and we would talk wrestling and metal music constantly, and it was always like this is 1998.
Yeah.
Into 2001 while we were there, and it was just constant wrestling talk with him. Like, we were talking heel turns, we're talking NWO, the Hart Foundation. He was an old school fan, and he's still, like, we're friends on Facebook, and he still tags me every time a wrestler passes away.
Oh, man. So it was all talk about, like, NWO, DX, and Creed.
And Creed, pretty much Creed, yeah. No, good shit. Pantera, Metallica.
Oh, that's awesome.
He played music in there.
Oh yeah.
He also only had one leg. He had lost a leg in a church accident or in a motorcycle accident. And would always tell us when he would go to church events, like they'd do the three-legged race, he would just take his prosthetic leg off and give it to his partner and let him run with it.
Smart. It's smart wrestling.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's some Zach Gowen shit right there.
Yeah, it is. That's awesome. Hey, obviously we're doing a remote this week, so the show's going to be a little bit shorter this week. But we're going to go over Battleground results. How do you feel about that?
Battleground. I don't know, man. It was an okay pay-per-view. Yeah. Like, it wasn't the worst, and it wasn't as bad as most people are making it out to be. And the ending wasn't the worst either, really, in my opinion. But it didn't stand out to me. I mean, there were some matches that were great on there. Punjabi Prison match was much better than I expected. Much better than if you were in person. Have you seen any of the pictures of people who were in the front row?
You know what? We went to school with somebody that was in the crowd that night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my good friend Brandon Ray Adams.
Oh, yeah.
He's been in the military for a number of years. He was in Philadelphia that night, and I guess he was sending me Snapchats all night of him sitting directly in front of the Punjabi prison. And he goes, "It photographs like crap, but I can actually see what's going on."
Oh, really? A lot of people were complaining, though, and saying they couldn't see. They spent, $1,100 and couldn't see what was happening.
On TV, it looked like garbage. Like, anytime it zoomed out, it just looked absolutely horrendous. Like, it's one thing, when the cage matches go down, or even, the Hell in the Cells, it adds a little bit of, I can't see. You know, that little bit of effect. And to throw, steel-reinforced bamboo on top of that, that's a little insane. How much is... Yeah. The Punjabi prison,
and then
complete
a cage
waste
within
of time.
A cage. Yes. The openings in the cages were not lined up in a way that you could see through them.
No, they were just they were off centered and they just weren't spaced enough. Yeah,
it just created bamboo mesh.
It was horrible. I mean, it looked atrocious. Anyway,
let's run down each match.
Yeah, so a pre-show match, Aiden English defeated Ty Dillinger.
No, man.
What's up with that?
I don't know, man. I don't know what is going on with Ty Dillinger and
that's
his
R-Truth. What's up with that?
Right? We're in a weird paradox right now where I swear to God, it seems like SmackDown... We were praising SmackDown a few months ago about how great they were running. Neither show is the best, but I would give Raw the edge right now.
Well, I mean, story is that one of the writers that was working on NXT moved over to SmackDown. because he was a good writer on NXT, got promoted to SmackDown, and now he's writing for Raw. So oh, they wow. feel like the current storylines on SmackDown have suffered because of the fact that he's been moved to Raw.
Now, don't get me wrong. Like, everything going on with the U.S. title in SmackDown, I dig. The yeah, main that's title all cool. is there. Like, I don't hate what's going on with the main title. It's just not as fun. Yeah. And then the women's... Everything going on with the women's division's all right. Like, it's at least edging out, you know? It's not the worst thing there. But everything else, like, even Mike Kanellis, like, we brought him in, he won at Battleground, great, and then we just... Or no, he lost at Battleground. He won it first, then he lost at Battleground.
He loses his first match.
Then he lost again at SmackDown this week.
Yeah, he loses his first pay-per-view match. Yeah. So the new... Yeah,
it's fine. It's just, there's just nothing going, really.
Why are you going to kill his momentum before he even gets started? Like, you're going to set him up for jobber status immediately.
It's sad, but SmackDown is... It's like Raw suffers from being 3 hours, but SmackDown could benefit from being 3 hours almost. Mm-hmm. Like, with SmackDown, I almost feel... Like, with Raw, I feel there's too much time. With SmackDown,
there's
I feel
not
like there's
enough.
Not enough.
There's
like,
not
there's some
enough
guys
the
on that
talent,
roster
yeah.
that need some more...
And
features.
The thing too, yeah, the thing too with SmackDown is like they try to use the entire roster every night, you know, and I don't blame them for trying to do that because, hey, that's what, you know, it wasn't working for a little while, you know, using as many, you know, stacking up the show, so to speak, and getting it to go, especially like, you know, putting multiple women's matches on in 2 hours when Raw can only do one.
I personally feel like the answer to the situation would be, and it's a bit of a stretch to make NXT 2 hours and have a superstar shakeup where we bring some guys from SmackDown to NXT
and feature
them a little more.
We could be getting that once again. We'll get into that later. To kick off the main show, The New Day defeated the Usos to win the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championships in a really, really good match.
That was a great tag team match.
Kofi Kingston pulling off. He is the only WWE superstar to win the WWE Tag Team Championships, the World Tag Team Championships, the WWE Unified Tag Team Championships, the Raw Tag Team Championships, and the SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
Damn.
Isn't that... Yes.
That's badass.
Amazing. Yeah. You can... Can you name all his partners?
Oh, God, no.
Well, his
Do you have
first...
You haven't pulled up?
I have them memorized.
Jesus.
His first tag team reign was with CM Punk.
Yep.
That was the WWE Tag Team Championships, the World Tag Team Championships. He won with Evan Bourne. Air Boom, you might remember them for a little while. Yep. Then he won the Tag Team Championships again with R-Truth, who they then lost those tag team titles. They held on to those for a while until they lost them to Daniel Bryan and Kane. And then all the other tag team titles after that were with New Day.
That's funny.
And Kofi has been a part of the tag team actually winning the belts. So
yes,
he's always been involved in actually winning the championship. So
because it's normally
congratulations.
Xavier that's out.
Yeah, usually Xavier is like kind of like the mouthpiece. But this time it was kind of cool. Like they went with the smaller team, which we hardly ever see. And I absolutely love the combination finish at the very end of that match. Watching Xavier Woods like fly across that ring was absolutely amazing.
Oh, I know. I loved that spot in the
earlier like in the match?
Early minutes of the match where Xavier tried to go coast to coast. And mm-hmm. got super kicked out of the air.
Oh, it was so good. And there were so many false finishes as far as, like, especially just on the New Day. Like, I was like, this is the first official match of the night. Like, it's not going to get topped. And it didn't, in my opinion. But
no.
It was a really good match to kick off the show. Coming up after that, Shinsuke Nakamura defeated Baron Corbin by disqualification. I'm not sure if one of us called the DQ finish. But I think we both maybe called for a Corbin win. I can't remember exactly what exactly happened. But,
I think we both called for a DQ finish.
Yeah.
And or at least not DQ. We said heel tactics.
Yeah. So, yeah, Baron Corbin loses this match. He low blows Shinsuke Nakamura after a pretty good match, I'd have to say. Look, he was getting ready to hit him with that exploder suplex right before he hits that Kinshasa and, you know, hits him with that low blow. That's the end of the match. And, you know, I'm okay with that. I wasn't too upset. Yeah.
It was good.
It progresses that storyline a little bit further, you know.
And then I love the follow-up on SmackDown. Like, they had a decent match against each other on SmackDown.
Yes, very good match. In a surprise kind of finish, I didn't see this happening. Natty defeated Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Lana, and Tamina to become the number one contender for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship.
And Natty's a dark horse. She's someone that like we always want to win, but we never expect to win. And like I'm not upset at this at all. I love the idea of Natty versus Naomi. Like that's going to be a great match. And I loved them furthering that on SmackDown with the trash talk of what she's done to the title, which you're right, I absolutely love that title the more I look at it now. The trash talk of what she's done to the title, what it's become, how she's disgraced it, and this is going to be a hell of a match. I'm looking forward to that, and I'm glad Natty's getting a push. Yeah, she earned it, you know?
I'm super happy for Natty that she's getting to progress a little bit further. It just makes me happy for her, and makes me happy as a fan.
And in the pants, man.
And in the pants. I love Natty. Kevin Owens. Yes, Kevin Owens defeated AJ Styles to regain that WWE United States Championship.
Yes.
For the time being.
Yep, and we'll go right into it. So he regains the title.
Which I called. Did I not call that?
You did call. You did call.
I didn't call the botch finish, though. So.
No, neither did I. That finish was kind of garbage. But he wins. SmackDown comes along. Jericho comes back out. We get a triple threat match between Jericho, AJ, and Kevin Owens. And I loved the finish to this match. Like, the whole match was amazing. I love that spot where AJ hit the forearm on Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens stumbled back, hit the super kick on Jericho. Jericho nails a enziguri on AJ. AJ stumbles back and hits the Pele on Kevin Owens. And they're all three down.
There were so many good spots in that match. And I actually have to go back and like rewatch that because I was sort of distracted while I was trying to watch it, but you know, trying to make sure my kid didn't fall off the couch.
Right.
And I was like, this is a really good match. Let me watch it, please.
It's such a good match. And the finish, I love the finish with Kevin Owens hitting the frog splash and AJ throwing Owens out of the ring and taking the pin on Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a great finish. And then just after that match, Kevin Owens absolutely losing his shit, and we get a rematch next week. So we had a pay-per-view quality match, and we talk about SmackDown being downhill, and the rest of the show pretty much was. Like, I love the attack, the Usos attacking the New Day and not letting them celebrate the titles at all. I dig that.
Yeah.
I dig. This week was a little bit of an anomaly. The only thing I really didn't like from SmackDown was the tag match with Ty Dillinger and Sami Zayn versus Aiden English and Mike Bennett.
That yeah, just kind of a mashup.
Kind of the low
of like,
point for me.
It's just like, hey, let's just throw these guys that we don't have anything for and throw them all in the match.
Yeah. But we got a pay-per-view quality match for the main event. Next week, we have a WrestleMania quality match set up for the main
do
event.
You think
we
this
have
match
John
is,
Cena versus you, Nakamura.
I mean, it sounds so good. Like, and I've played through the storylines on WWE 2K17 over and over, like, of a saga between Nakamura and John Cena. And it just sounds too good, like it's not gonna happen. I feel like Corbin's gonna,
or Rusev.
Like like both of them are gonna come out and like attack him. Like I just
we're not gonna get this either finished. Like we're gonna get halfway through the match and lose it, or the match is never gonna start.
Yeah, like I don't see I don't see like a winner at the end of this match. And I think either one like Corbin or Rusev will come out and disrupt this.
That being said, though. We've got AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens again for the United States title.
Yeah. But you know what? They'll probably put on like a good like 15-minute match, Nakamura and John Cena, you know, where it's really good. We get a lot of close calls, and then at the end of the night or at the end of the match, you know, that's when we get the DQ because
Baron
of the
Corbin. And I would bet Baron Corbin and Rusev get involved.
Yeah, because it's just like, hey, let's go give the fans a show. But we're not going to put either one of them over because we don't want to, you know, ruin a push for Nakamura. And really, you don't want anybody really going over Cena, especially on SmackDown.
I would almost bet that we get them involved and then we get a fatal four-way for a number one contender or something
Yeah,
like that.
Something
or a tournament or something.
Yeah. Speaking of which, John Cena defeated Rusev in that flag match.
Yeah, that wasn't a good match.
It was very slow.
Yes, and the one part that stands out to me and that I hate the most is Rusev trying to put the flag in the pedestal and John Cena grabbing his hands to stop him. You want to make it look realistic? Just knock the fucking pedestal over.
I wanted someone to get stabbed.
So did I.
With the flag at one point. I'm just like
I dig the AA off the steps through the tables. That's great. Yeah. But the rest of that match was terrible.
Yeah, it was very awkward to watch.
Yep.
I wasn't the biggest fan of that match. And that 21 minutes felt like forever.
You know how long it felt for me? 2 minutes.
That's as long as you watch.
That's about as much of it as I watched. That was my bathroom break time.
Sami Zayn defeated Mike Kanellis.
In a good match. That was a decent match.
It was a good match for only
I don't mind him losing
minutes.
That pay-per-view. It's just what they did with him afterwards is what bothers me.
Yeah, just the fallout from that match wasn't all that great. And the fact that, I don't know, I feel like if it's your first pay-per-view match, especially if you're going to be like a big new heel, you kind of got to get that win. I'm surprised that they didn't give him the win. So, whatever. But
right.
Yeah, I just that some things I just don't get.
And then pairing him with Aiden English even further is the fact that his gimmick is a gimmick, that it's not like more of a true storyline and it's just a gimmick.
Yeah.
But one thing I do love and I noticed for the first time on SmackDown this week is when they come out to the ring and they show their stats. They show the date that Mike and Maria were married.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I caught that this week. I was like, holy shit. It says that's married like October 10th, 2014.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Oh, yeah, my wife recognized her from the Ring of Honor picture.
Oh, yeah?
She's like, hey. She's like, there's that girl. There's that girl I don't like.
Is that what she said?
Yeah. And in our main event, we saw Jinder Mahal defeat Randy Orton to retain his WWE Championship inside the Punjabi prison.
So I was texting back and forth with a fan of the show, Brian, and he, as soon as it happened, he's like, are you fucking serious?
Shout Jinder. Out to fan of the show, Brian.
And I, as soon as he said that, like, are you serious? I texted him. I was like, I remember a certain podcast talking about how awesome it would be if we had an Indian stable. And we've brought that and I'm not mad that we're not going to get a whole lot of matches out of the Great Khali. It's not gonna happen. Yeah. He's gonna be the enforcer. He's gonna be the guy who goes out there and beats people up. That's fine.
Yeah, I think that. we are definitely moved past the need for a Great Khali return.
Yeah, he's basically just gonna be in the early days of DX what China was.
Pretty much,
just
yes.
The muscle that stands in the background and beats people up. And did you notice in the picture they took backstage, Rajan Singh was back as well?
Oh, that no, I didn't. I did not see him. That's awesome.
Yeah, there's a picture of all five of them backstage. So it was Rajan Singh, Great Khali, Jinder Mahal, and the Singh brothers.
That is awesome.
I dig it. I really dig it. This is what we call. This is what we asked for. Let's make a heel stable, and let's build on this Indian stable. And if you're bitter and you're upset that this is what happened, he's a heel and you're a mark and you're playing into what they want you to play into.
Okay, so we got an Indian stable. What do we call it? Put you on the spot.
The MWO, the Maharaja World Order.
I like it. I like it.
The guys from Dubai.
Oh, I like that one. The guys from Dubai. That's pretty good. Know. Yeah.
The Punjabi player. Wait, isn't that already one?
That's the Great Khali. I thought he was the Punjabi playboy. Wasn't he the Punjabi
playboy?
Playboy,
that's what it was. The Punjabi playboy.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what they would call themselves.
Those were dark times, the Punjabi playboy. Overall, I enjoyed the match. Visually, it's kind of hard to process it a little bit.
They put on a better match than what we expected. What we talked about, had it been anyone else, it would have sucked. But I think the two of them put on
I highly expected this match to just not keep my entertainment, just keep me entertained or not keep my attention. And for 27 minutes, man, they kept my attention. I didn't realize looking at the time right now on the website that this match went on for nearly 28 minutes. It did not feel like 28 minutes. I like the rules inside, once you tell that door to open, that door stays locked if you don't go through it, which I think is a great idea. I think that's awesome.
I love watching them fight over that little door,
that was actually pretty cool. I just wish the actual structure was better built, but I know you can't use dinner bamboo because that shit will break.
It'll snap,
and everybody will die. And there was parts on there where Randy Orton was I think it was when the Great Khali came up or something. They were he got flipped over when the Great Khali was shaking the Punjabi prison. When he was and Randy threw himself back over. And I was just oh my God. I legit got scared. Holy crap.
I thought he was going to drop
and die. and break every bone in his body. Because he had to be at least, like, you know, 18 feet off the ground. JR would say he's 30 feet off the ground.
Oh, my God, he's 35 feet in the air.
Oh, my God, he's 40 feet off the ground. But, yeah, I just...
Mamma mia.
Oh, Mauro's calling the match.
Have you not seen those videos? They're like hand drawn. They reenact everything that happens at the pay per views or predict the pay per views.
Oh, no.
I'll have to send them to you. But the guy commentating is always doing Mauro. He's all, Mamma mia. I'll have to send them to you. They're on YouTube. They are fucking great.
That is great.
I think there was a Roman Reigns one before one of the pay per views. And they just had him spearing everybody, including Bayley and the inflatable buddies.
Oh, my gosh.
So we got matches already set for SummerSlam.
Yes, we do.
We'll just start with SmackDown. The Jinder Mahal versus either John Cena or Shinsuke Nakamura for now, unless any shenanigans happen between now and then. Alexa Bliss versus Bayley is set. Bayley won a match to make it into that. Naomi versus Natalya. And this match, like, this is the match for me. Like, I really dig this match. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe versus Braun Strowman was announced on Raw.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, and I love what Corey Graves said. He's like, we talk about it, and we're smart alecks about needing to reinforce the ring, but this is a match that we might actually have to reinforce the ring.
Yeah.
That, absolutely. God, that match is going to be so good. Did you love all the jobbers coming out getting destroyed by Braun Strowman? I love what he said, too. He's like, I don't even care. I'm just about stacking bodies and places I pooped.
And then Roman's like, man, shut up.
Just punches him. I did
love the security guard just taking that massive bump, just like getting tossed out of the ring and just eating the floor. Oh, my God.
When
gosh.
He threw him, I expected there to be other security guards there. And
there
when there
was
wasn't,
nobody
I was like,
there.
Shit.
Yeah, I was like, that guy is dead. But that guy probably told him, that guy had to tell him beforehand, yeah, I could take bumps to the outside.
I could take it. Yeah.
Do it.
So on the tag team front, the original rumors or plans for SummerSlam is that we were going to get Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose in a triple threat match against The Miz for the IC title. That has apparently been changed.
Yep.
We're most likely getting Jason Jordan versus The Miz for the IC title.
Jason Jordan is supposed to be doing a Miz TV segment with them on this upcoming Raw, so that's going to start laying the groundwork for that.
And then the original plans are supposed to be a fatal four-way between Sheamus and Cesaro, The Revival, The Club, and the Hardys.
Mm-hmm.
And that was going to be our tag match. Now, the rumor is that we're going to get Sheamus and Cesaro versus Dean and Seth for the
title. Oh, wow. Interesting.
And then I don't know what they're doing with the other three tag teams, but that's supposedly the rumor. Now, what I could see probably happening is that Fatal 4-Way is still happening and us just getting Dean versus Seth as an option somewhere. Like them having a match to qualify or something weird
Swapping
like that,
them out.
Failing,
and
then
how good was
each other.
How good was that Club Revival match? That was great.
That's a team that I would die to see together. I've been wanting that to happen, and it happens on Raw. Like,
yeah, the
so
feud.
Good.
I mean, not the feud, but just the actual match itself. I was like, wow, we're actually doing this. We're doing a Revival versus the Club, and at first the Club was playing up the babyface role, like kind of like, you know, coming out calling the Revival nerds and
nerds.
I love it. I love what Luke Gallows does. It's pretty awesome.
Right.
But just kind of like messing with the Revival. Granted, the Revival get the win. I think with the Shatter Machine on, I think it was Anderson.
I love the Shatter Machine.
Ah, such a good move. And I
even love the Magic
too,
Killer.
Like, yeah, the Magic Killer is great, and the Boot of Doom I love. I mean, and it was good matches for both teams, like going forward, because one, you know, they both were victims to the Hardys, so you know, like, yeah, kind of, you know, I don't think it hurt the Club in any way to lose that match. You know, granted, they've been losing a lot of matches. But, you know, it was actually kind of cool match to watch both teams get to be able to, like, showcase themselves, so to speak. And how about that match between Sasha and Bayley, man? Like,
great match.
That was a great match for Raw to determine that number one contender. And I love the opportunity that Emma got this week.
God. Did you see the back and forth between her and Alexa Bliss on Twitter over the jacket?
Yeah. She's saying
and
that
Paige even got involved.
Mm-hmm.
Paige, who apparently does not have a warrant for her arrest.
And it is not anorexic.
Yeah, I saw that too. They originally reported that Paige had an Orlando police had issued a warrant for her arrest for battery on Alberto Del Rio, and that they had reached out to San Antonio police about finding her and arresting her. And statements were made today stating that that was false.
Oh, good.
So both police departments came forward and said, no, there's no warrant for her arrest at this time.
Oh, so hopefully Paige can get, I don't know. I don't want to say her act together because I really feel like she's okay and we're just blowing everything out of proportion. But, you know, I really hope to see Paige again in the WWE.
Well, just say it. She does need to get her act together because even if she's not doing anything, she's being painted in a negative light. And she's somebody who could do amazing things in this business. And being with Alberto Del Rio and him dragging her down into negative publicity like this could possibly be hurting her brand.
Yeah. Well, you're right.
Eddie Edwards is saying goodbye. Not only... What's that?
No, I was... Go ahead. Oh, sorry.
I thought you were about to correct me or something. No, I was like, what did I do wrong? No, Eddie Edwards is saying goodbye not only to Impact Wrestling, but to wrestling in general.
Oh, wow. He's retiring?
He is retiring, and he is moving on to further his education and receive his degree to become a doctor. He's been going to medical school, and wrestling has been helping fund that. So he announced this week that he is stepping away from wrestling to finish medical school and become a doctor. So
it'll be Dr. Edwards.
Dr. Edwards. So kudos to him, man. Like Kofi has a degree. A lot of guys have their degrees. I know that. But
like, Kofi or Xavier?
They both do. Kofi has a degree in business or something. I know he has some sort of degree. Xavier has his PhD. I know a lot of guys still further their education within, you know, being wrestlers and stuff. But to step away from it completely and go for something that is really and truly your dream is really cool. Like, I really applaud him.
Yeah, isn't that what Maria did too? Like, she, they wrapped up at Impact and she wrapped up her degree and then...
Yep.
Yep, and then she ended up on SmackDown.
And also, I believe Magnus has stepped away from the company.
Yeah, he has. There's a number of talents that walked away from GFW within the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
Some minor, mostly minor, but a couple bigger names like Magnus. He was fulfilling his contractual duties just to drop the title in a nice manner. I think that's what the words were. So he didn't, like, you know, just quit and drop the title. Same with Christina Von Erie. Like, they just showed up on Impact to kind of just drop the titles and right. let them move on. So, I mean,
was I
feel
wrong?
Like...
Did I see that Masters or Adonis left as well?
Oh, I did not see that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I saw another big name. I can't remember who it was, but I did see another name had left other than Magnus. So Magnus is real life married to Mickie James, right?
Yes, that is correct.
So what are the chances of seeing him within WWE or NXT now?
I think Nick Aldis, you know, aka Magnus, I think he'd be a great fit for the main roster. I mean, in WWE. I mean, I think he has that physique, he has that build, and you know, I think he'd be a great fit on anywhere in WWE, even if it's like starting on. I was going to say ECW, but in NXT.
I think he would be great on NXT. He's just a talent that, look at Drew Galloway. Drew Galloway closed out the show with a segment, and he's the guy that we always wanted Drew Galloway to be. He's the beast. He's the actual badass wrestler. He's not a gimmick. He's not anything to laugh at. He's there in a full wrestling capacity, and that's what we always needed him to be. And WWE, of course, let's put him into gimmicks. Let's make him all this different stuff. And it never worked out. And then now look at what he's doing on NXT, just being himself.
I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. There was a Instagram I know I saw on an EC3 and Moose were getting into it. And now I can't find it. But EC3 was basically talking crap to Moose, but they're buddies. And EC3 was saying, I'm going to beat you for whatever our mid-card title is called.
Whatever our mid-card title is called.
Yeah. I was like, that is amazing. I'm going to have to find it again because I saw it and I had a good laugh, but I can't find it right now. But yeah, I thought that was pretty good interactions there. So I think that's pretty much everything that happened.
I guess your brother's running for mayor.
Oh, yeah. My brother is running for mayor, my little brother.
Saw- I just saw that he found out that you only have to be 21 in this town to run for mayor.
Oh, it's going to be like Adam Scott's character in Parks and Rec.
Yes, abso-fucking-lutely.
If you guys aren't a Parks and Rec fan, Adam Scott became the youngest mayor, what, 18? Well, his character. Yeah. What's his character's name? I can't remember.
I cannot remember.
His character becomes like the youngest mayor ever of his town, and he like drives it to bankruptcy. Because he's like installing like water slides everywhere or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I remember that
something really ridiculous. It was pretty awesome. My brother from mayor. I talked to him about this a couple weeks ago, so it's pretty interesting that he brought it up.
That's great. I'd vote for your brother.
Oh, that's good. That's one vote. I'm gonna run against him.
Then I might have to vote for you then.
No, you'll vote for him still.
I'll vote for both of you. I mean, voter fraud's a thing, right?
Oh, yeah, that definitely happened, right?
You can get away with that, right?
Russia. on that note.
On that note.
On that note. Hey, remember, Marks, you can send us your questions and comments by following us on Twitter at @smart_marks. You're more than welcome to follow our personal accounts as well. You can follow me at Mateo83. You can follow Jeremy at JVader82. Like us on Facebook. There you can interact with us and other fans of the show. You can also follow us on Tumblr and Instagram if you hate social media altogether and want to ask a question. Anyway, email us at smartmarksquestions@gmail.com. Again, that email, smartmarksquestions@gmail.com. If you guys shop through Amazon, please use that referral link on provengamer.com. There's absolutely no hidden or added cost. Just use the link, which shows that you're a fan of the show, and we'll get a little bit of help from Amazon to help keep the lights on. Remember, you can stream, download, rate the show from iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and ProvenGamer.com. Be sure to give us that 5-star Frog Splash rating and leave a funny review that I can read on the show, or drop a promo on us. We'll read it too. While you're there at ProvenGamer.com, you can also check out some awesome game reviews and articles in the Trophy Horrors podcast and Nintendo Dual Screens. We got a new host, right, on the Trophy Horrors? Like permanent
they
host?
Do.
Yeah, I got a. Is it Steven? Right? No.
It is Steven.
Steven Fontana?
Fontana. Joe Montana.
Steven Fontana is a brand new added host of the Trophy Horse podcast. So tune in or download. Download and stream the latest Trophy Horse podcast. I actually think we all come out on the same day, if I'm not mistaken. So make ProvenGamer.com your one stop shop. Yeah, for everything gaming and wrestling related. Thanks for listening, Marks. Once again, I am Matt. He is Jeremy. My baby is crying in the next room over. And we'll catch you guys next time on the Smart Marks. Peace out.